and preaching and all kind of good things. So get your brown book. And I'm going to ask for some songs tonight, if Brother Buddy and Miss Teresa don't care. And let's start with 202 in the brown book, Anywhere's Home. And we're going to sing about three songs tonight. Now, I made a statement before, and that statement is that Brother I used to pastor Brother Danny and Miss Joyce years ago. We were all part of the same church, and that church had a piano player that you had to literally keep a fire extinguisher beside the piano, because she'd burn that thing up. And now her name was Miss Beulah. I've talked about Miss Beulah before. We got our own Miss Beulah here. I introduced her tonight as Miss Beulah. And so we're going to sing some good songs out of the old brown book. So we're going to start with Anywhere Is Home, and we'll sing the first, second, and third verses. So let's stand, and let's see if we can get some singing done, okay? Next one, just a second, 203. But before we do, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you have an unspoken request, would you let it be known by a raised hand? And the Lord knows all about that. Thank God that He does. All right. Yes.
Remember Patricia and others, Patricia from high school.
Let's remember these spoken and unspoken requests in prayer. Brother Buddy, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you, brother. We'll let you be seated on the next one, 203, Jesus Hold My Hand. Let's sing the first and the third. You have to take a breath. You want to give them a break between one and three, sister? Let them breathe. All right. 203, next one. First and last. Break in the middle. Song. Let's turn one more page. I don't think Miss Betty will be disappointed with that one. 204, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. All right, now let's do this. Let it be handshaking. We'll do first and second. Let's go around and greet one another and then come back on the last as we stand. greet one another tonight in the Lord. Ready? Here we go. Seated. Good to see you tonight. Good number on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you are here, and we're glad our visitors are here, but I'm most of all glad that Jesus is here. Amen. And he said where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And I think we got more than two or three. I'm not a great mathematician. I think I got that and figured out, though, that he's here because he said where two or three are gathered. All right. Well, let's let Miss Teresa bless us with a song tonight.
I got to remember the key I sing this in. My home is a shack, and my pockets are bare. And I don't have a dime that I can spare. But I'm richer than a king. I've got everything. I've got a million treasures in the sky. I've got a shiny white robe, a harp and a crown. I'll have a brand new body when I lay this old body down. I'm richer than a king. I've got everything. I've got a million treasures in the sky. Don't pity me if my garments are worn. I'm an heir to a kingdom forevermore. I'm richer than a king. I've got everything. I've got a million treasures in the sky. I've got a shiny white robe, a harp and a crown. I'll have a brand new body when I lay this old body down. Well, I'm richer than a king. I've got everything. I've got a million treasures in the sky. I'm richer than any king. I've got everything. I've got a million treasures in the sky.
Good to have Brother Danny and Sister Joyce Foraker. I'm going to talk about him in just a few minutes because he'll be talking later. So equal time, you know. But it's so good to have their daughter Jessica and grandchildren. And we've got Alyssa and Stephanie. And so these ladies are going to bless us with some message and song. So if you ladies want to come on up, we'll enjoy what the Lord has laid upon y'all's hearts for us tonight. This is a treat for our folks to get to hear young people like this sing, so pray for them.
Had my share of sunshine and rain, days filled with laughter and nights filled with pain, but every mile I've traveled this way, the journey gets sweeter each day. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed, walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. No regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. I kneel in the darkness in the middle of the night, praying for assurance everything's gonna be all right. I see another battle out in front of me. I don't know if I'll be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Take a look around you, see how far you've come. Every time that you asked me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? Spoke to the wind, and thus it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Didn't I walk right beside you so you wouldn't fall? Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now you're talking to your father in a house that was once a home. Say my bills are coming due, Lord, and 3 days aren't that long. Then you hear a voice softly say, I moved like that before. I can do this little thing, and I can give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea to the wind? Gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Didn't I walk right beside you so you wouldn't fall? Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? Search until I found you, I'd do it all again. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and thus it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Didn't I walk right beside you so you wouldn't fall? Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Sometimes the days are dark and long. Sometimes I don't feel like traveling on. Sometimes I'm pierced by Satan's darts. Sometimes I just want to go home. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. He reminds me that Sometimes I feel like I could die. Sometimes my world crumbles in my hands. Sometimes I stumble in the fight. Sometimes I'm just too weak to stand. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. Always He reminds me that He will always be there. Always He
I faced a mountain oh so high, and I do not know what is waiting on the other side. But I know enough to know He'll see me through again. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hand. There will be grace, grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile. There will be hope when I've done all I can. It's good to know it's in the Savior's hands. These hands have seen me through my darkest days. They have dried my tears and held my hand along the way. So I know He'll take me through the fire again. I'm so glad to know it's in the Savior's hands. There will be grace, grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile. There will be hope when I've done all I can. It's good to know it's in the Savior's hands. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile. There will be hope when I've done all I can. It's good to know it's in
you hadn't got a blessing out of the last half hour, your wood's wet. Believe that. And so I appreciate all the good singing tonight. I was just sitting there thinking about how many people went to places like New York for the bringing in of the new year. Wondered out of all the thousands of people that were there in Times Square, how much sin went on there. And how many people shot up with dope and pot pills and drank liquor and spent time with people didn't even know who they were. And that's the way you want to go in the new year, huh? But you know what? Tonight, first church service of the new year, you just can't get any better than just old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching and fellowshipping with the saints. It's not better than nothing any better than that. And the best thing is that you're filled with the Spirit and not with drugs and alcohol. And you know where you're going when you leave tonight. You know who you're going with. And so the Lord is good. Amen. So good. I sent out the message for those of you that didn't know what was going on. I just had to, the only way I could really do it was send it out by Facebook and hopefully word of mouth. And Sunday morning I got to preach at Brother Danny's church. And Brother Danny and his family started the Old Time Way Baptist Church, so that you know by the name of that church what they stand for. And how many years ago did you start the church, Brother Danny? About 5 years ago. And they met in the Four Acres home for quite some time, and now the Lord's opened the door and they're meeting in a funeral home. And some people have a problem with that, but you know, one way or the other, a lot of times the church will have to have a funeral in the church and put a body at the front. It doesn't really matter what happens to the body here. It's where's that soul going when they die. That's what's important. And so they've had some growth in the church and some new people in the church. And we just really do appreciate these folks. These are dear, special friends to us. Have you ever heard people... Have you ever heard the saying that everybody has a twin? Have you ever heard that? Well, Sister Moore has her twin here tonight. Sister Joyce, they're just peas in the pod. So I tell you, you better watch out. And so this is the night if you ever want blackmail. Tonight's night. Brother Danny might get, if you give him a little love offering, he might tell some stuff on these ladies, especially my wife, because they all grew up together down in North Florida. So they are cohorts in crime. And I appreciate so much them being here. I found out they were coming to Walkertown. And Miss Joyce's brother and his family live in Walkertown. And you know her brother. That's the McCormicks. Do you remember a couple of years ago the singing McCormick family came to be with us on a Sunday night? And that was in July. It was hot. We were sweating it out that night. And but that's that brother McCormick is Miss Joyce's brother, and so they're leaving tomorrow, going back to Florida. So it's a short trip. But I said, well, Brother Danny, I've been wanting Brother Danny to come up here and preach for a long time, but his schedule, he works as well as pastors, and he has a hard time with his schedule. But when I found out he was going to be here, I said, you've got to come. And I wanted you, our church home, to meet these folks. These are special people. There are some people, as you well know, that are uppity and high class, and if they went outside during a rainstorm, they would drown because their nose would be turned completely up, and they would drown from that. But these folks are so down to earth, so I want you to take, if you haven't had time, to just talk to them after service. Just meet with them, talk to them, and pray for them as they'll be heading off back to North Florida tomorrow. But I'm going to ask Brother Danny to come, my good friend, and I want him to preach the word of the Lord to us, okay? stick that in your pocket if you want to. Put that right there. Maybe.
Okay. Well, good evening. Good to be here tonight. Miss Darlene went and got me some water. Let me get it out of my pocket. I hope I don't offend you by taking a drink every now and then. It is water, I promise you. Unless Miss Darlene put something else in. I have found out as you get older, you require some things that you have not always required. Water is one of them. When I'm trying to preach anymore, I get so dry at times. But anyway, you don't need to know all that, do you? But it's a joy to be here tonight. We've loved Brother Van and Miss Darlene for a lot of years. We really have. And more years than Darlene and I want to remember. But we went to the same school, went to the same high school, grew up in the same town. I knew her mom and dad all my life. I think I preached your daddy's funeral or your mama's funeral? I preached one of them. But anyway, I've known all of her family for a long time. And Brother Van said you might give me a love offering and I'd tell you some stories. I enjoy telling them, so I might pay you if you'll just listen to them, okay? So I don't know what we'll do, but anyway, I do love them. And Brother Van and Miss Darlene, we knew all about their romance before they got married. And I remember when they got married and we've watched them come along in their wedding bliss. And when Bethany was born, and now Bethany's grown and married herself, and we got to go by and see her today, and enjoyed that. But we've just stayed in touch all these years. I said in our church the other night, and I hope I have a hard time expressing all that's on my heart sometimes, but there's so many ways and so many words and terms that I could use to describe Brother Van and Miss Darlene, but one of the, and I think I'm going to use the same one I did at our church. There's many things. Just dear friends, so many ways. But the one word that comes to mind when I think about them is faithfulness. They've been so faithful over the years, and you don't find that everywhere. You just don't. They've not been any of these folks. It's been what I call wishy-washy. You know what that means? Now, I'm an old country boy from Florida, so if I say something you don't know what it means, I'm sorry, okay? But a lady told me one time, I was in a church preaching, and I said something about how I murder the English language sometimes, and I don't take pride in that. It embarrasses me at times. But I told her, I told those folks, I said it goes all the way back to when I was in school. Because I said I hated English class. And that's the way I said it. I said I just hated English class. And I preached all that night. And on my way out, there was this one of those ladies like Brother Van mentioned, real sophisticated, held her nose up like that. When I came by, she was at the front door. And as I came by, I shook her hand. I shook her hand. And she got up real close to me and she said, "Young man, I just wanted to inform you, you still hate the English language." And being the gentleman I tried to be, I just said, "Yes, ma'am, thank you." And she went on. But I don't take pride in that. But anyway, just there's so many, and there's so many people over the years that they've changed, and they've tried to change with the times, and they've tried to change to suit certain people and that sort of thing. I've never seen that in Brother Van and Miss Darlene. They've been faithful. They stood by this book. They stood with the Lord. And I don't know, I'm not scolding you in any way, but don't ever, church, take that for granted. And don't take for granted what you have here with a faithful man and his wife doing everything they can to serve God and live for Jesus. Be thankful. Thank God for them every day. Every day. And pray for them. Take as good care of them as you possibly can. And God will reward you for that. Amen? He will. Now, Brother Van didn't know I was going to say, but I encourage you, pray for them, because they are very faithful. They love you folks. They talk to me about you when you're not around. It's always encouragement. And they love you folks. And I appreciate that. Amen? I really do. All right. Is there anything else? This is my wife. I hope you got to meet her. Stick your hand up, Joyce. Can I share this with you? This day, January the 2nd, 42 years ago, we met. Amen? On this day. We met on a blind date. And Joyce says she's been blind ever since. But then 6 months later, 6 months after that, we got married. And we've been married now going on 42 years. Amen? So, and I thank the Lord for her. Talk about faithful. She's been faithful to stay by my side too. Then, of course, you met Jessica and Stephanie and Alyssa. And we're awful proud of them. All right. Brother Van, am I leaving out anything? Okay. Brother Van told you about our church, Old Time Way Baptist Church. We want it to be just that. I believe in I love that song we sang a little while ago about old time religion. I like that old time stuff, don't you? And I still like the old King James Bible. And that's all we use. And I like those old hymnals. In fact, if you don't watch me real close, I might be toting those brown ones out with me when I leave tonight. I like those books. Jessica, we need some of those. Amen? We need some of those. But do pray for us. As Brother Van told you, the church is, pretty new. And we are meeting in the funeral home. I told our people, I said, you know how some churches have special Sundays, like, Bring a Friend Sunday. And I've heard of churches having Resurrection Sunday. We won't be having that where we meet at the funeral home, because I'm afraid people would take that the wrong way. But anyway, God has blessed us. Brother, the funeral home is a beautiful building. We've been honored to be there. But you pray for us, because it is our desire to have our own place one day as God sees fit, okay? And I want to go ahead and get started, because I've been known sometimes to chase rabbits and get a little long-winded, and I don't want to keep you too long tonight. How cold is it supposed to get tonight in Virginia? 25. It's time to go to Florida, isn't it? 25. Okay. I'm just in Virginia. I just came out of North Carolina, not too far up the road. So anyway, I didn't know where I was. Turn with me tonight to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read one of the most familiar stories in the Bible tonight. Probably, if I were to ask some of the children, I know my grandchildren could tell you this story. They might not tell it word for word, but they could give you the gist of it tonight. But I've just got a simple message. I'm a simple guy. But I've got a very simple message that from the moment Brother Van first mentioned about me preaching up here, I don't know why, this message just came to my heart or to my mind, and I've looked around even at some other things, but God just kept steering me back to this story about a little guy named Zacchaeus. And I want us to look at his story a little bit tonight. Is there anyone that's never heard the story of Zacchaeus? Is there anyone that's never taught their children a little song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And how's it go? And as the Savior came passing by, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Why, Lissa? Because I'm going to your house today, amen, or something like that. I probably messed it up. But that was probably the best song you heard sing all night, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Brother Van, you have to get those amens out of them some way, you know. So, but anyway, everyone's familiar with this story. But I want us to read it together. We're going to start reading in the book of Luke, chapter 19, in verse number 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 10. And I want to bring you probably about three or four real simple thoughts. And in my prayer, you know what I've prayed today? I've prayed, Lord, let me be a blessing. You bless the people tonight. I didn't come to preach at you, to straighten you out. I didn't come to do any of that. I came to try to be a blessing to you tonight. And that's what my prayer is. Let's read together, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For, and this is a great verse, verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now let's pray together tonight. And then I want to bring just, as I said, a simple message. And this is what we're going to be thinking about tonight. We're going to see very quickly some thoughts from a tree. So we're going to think about some of the thoughts that Zacchaeus had, very possibly, when he was sitting in that tree. We've probably looked at it in every other direction, haven't we? But have you ever thought about what he thought as he sat up there waiting on Jesus to come by? Now, I know what I would have been thinking if I'd have been up the tree. I sure hope the wind don't come up and knock me out of this thing or something like that. But those are not the thoughts that are the type of thoughts that I'm concerned with tonight. But let's pray, and then I'll try to bring the message that's on my heart. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us this privilege to be here in this place tonight. How wonderful it is to be with Brother Van and Miss Darlene tonight, and their dear people. Dear Lord, they've all been so kind and sweet to us, and we're grateful for that. And dear Lord, we feel right at home tonight. We're thankful for that too, dear Lord, how it's not that way everywhere you go. And dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the good music and the good congregational singing. Father, just been a blessing to our hearts. And dear Lord, now we pray that over these next moments that you'll help us to draw our attention to your word. And dear Lord, speak to our hearts. Dear God, be a blessing to these dear people tonight. Dear Father, I don't care if they don't remember anything about me when I leave. But dear Father, I trust that they'll maybe be drawn somewhat closer in some way to you. And dear God, I pray that you'd bless the ministry of this church. Dear Lord, may they see growth in every way, yes, in number, in their spiritual lives. And dear Lord, may they see many prayers answered. Dear Lord, may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and uplifted in just a very special way in this year, 2013. And dear God, we thank you for everything that's been done here tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, we'll be careful to praise you and honor you and give you glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. Now, let me just recap very quickly. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, if I were to ask the question tonight, how many of you are best friends with the tax collector? Probably not many of you would raise your hand. Maybe you are. Maybe it's some of your kinfolk. I don't know. But in most cases, the tax collector, Brother Van, is not one of the better known people in the area, are they? And that's, I believe, was probably the case with old Zacchaeus. He collected taxes for the Roman government. And there's a long story all around that I'm not going to take time to go into tonight. But I believe probably Zacchaeus was hated by most people. He really was. Remember where we read a moment ago, it was back in verse number 2, where it said that he told us, gave us his name. And then it said he was the chief among publicans and he was rich. But the probability is he did not become rich honestly. It was probably, a lot of it came very dishonestly. It's my understanding that the tax collectors in these days, and I could be wrong, but from what I gathered, from what I've read, it was my understanding that the tax collector would sit, as he sat at the table and the people would come by, they could pretty much choose any amount they wanted to as taxes. They might charge one guy 7%. They might charge another 12%. They could charge as high as 20% if they wanted to. A lot of it came very dishonestly. The point that I'm trying to get across to you tonight. But he was probably a very hated person. But then one day he finds out that this man named Jesus was to pass by. And of course, Jesus, his name was well known. The Bible said that he was curious. He wanted to know who he was. He wanted to see him. I do not believe he wanted to see him because he was interested in finding a Savior. I don't believe that at all. I believe it was just out of curiosity. It's like if someone passed through town here and big crowds were coming to see them. You would be curious. You'd want to see too, just to see what was going on, wouldn't you? And I believe that's kind of the situation that we find Zacchaeus here. But as Jesus was coming by, he was on his way to Jerusalem, and everyone wanted to see him, including Zacchaeus. But now remember, the Bible says too that Zacchaeus was a short man. He was a small of stature. And as the crowd of people was around, of course, it was hard for him to see. It's like if I take my grandchildren somewhere and they're trying to see something over there, it's hard. They can't see around grown people, you know. So many times, either if I'm there, I'll pick them up, or their dad will pick them up, or even their mom will pick them up and hold them up, you know. They get up higher where they can see. That's all Zacchaeus wanted to do. He finds this tree along the way that Jesus was passing, and he climbs up that tree to get a good view. And I'm sure that as he sat up there, Brother Van, I just believe, the Bible don't really tell us this, but I just believe probably Zacchaeus, if you would have asked him about it, he'd have probably thought, he won't even know I'm up here. I'm going to just get a good view, and I'm going to see what he's all about. I've heard how he's healed people. I've heard how he's performed all types of miracles. I hear that he just goes about doing good. Those are things we hear about him. We read about him in the Bible, isn't it? And he said, I'm going to get a good view. I'm going to see what this guy's really like. And he won't even know I'm here. But I want you to think about, so I want you to see some things with me. The Bible told us that as Jesus passed by, he stops. And he looks up in that tree. And he actually spoke to him, didn't he? He spoke to him. Remember, he told him, make haste. Come down out of there, because I must abide at your house today. And of course, we know how all those religious people acted. They said, well, he's going to eat with a sinner. Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners? I'm glad Jesus loves sinners. That means he loves me. You say you're a sinner preacher? You're up there preaching? Yeah, I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I'm so grateful tonight that he loves sinners. Well, we'd all be in a mess if he didn't love sinners, wouldn't we? I hear people say all the time, well, if not for the grace of God, or if God didn't love sinners like he does, I'd be on my way to hell. You know what? I don't think that's accurate, at least as far as I'm concerned. If God didn't love me, and if it not for the grace of God, I'd probably already be in hell tonight. I wouldn't be on my way. I'd be there. That's where I deserve to be. But thank God for his grace. Thank God that one day he looked down, just as he looked up and saw Zacchaeus up that tree. He looked down and saw a little old young boy on the end of a dirt road. I went to church all my life. My mom and daddy used to take me to church. I thank God tonight for an old man of God one day that stood in the pulpit just like this and preached from that old King James Bible, preached on a place called hell. Brother Van, I went home that day so convicted. Didn't get saved that day. But as a young boy, I lived a whole week in misery. I'd try to go to sleep at night, and I could see me dropping off into hell. But it was not until it was on the next Sunday morning, not in church, but before I didn't even want to go to church until I got something settled in here and standing right in front of Mom and Daddy's house on the side of that little dirt road. I said, and I didn't pray, dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what I said? I remember I broke, and I remember I turned my little head up toward, it was little then, I turned my little head up toward heaven and I said, Jesus, if you'll take me, I sure want you to. That was my sinner's prayer. Because he did take me. And thank God, the preacher taught me enough, or God showed me enough. I knew when the invitation, boy, I couldn't wait for the invitation that day. And I come bebopping down that aisle. And I didn't even have to save the preacher. I want the Lord to save me. I told him the Lord did save me. Amen? And he did. And Brother Van, as sure as anything in the world, this day, right now, even while I'm thinking about it, my mind takes me back to the side of that little dirt road where I said, Jesus, if you'll take me, I want you to. And he did. Amen? And I thank God he loves sinners. Now that's completely awful. My train of thought that I came in here with tonight, but hey, I want to follow him. Amen? I'm going to follow him. Can I say this to you tonight? I know this is the Wednesday night crowd, but if there's one here tonight that does not know without a doubt that you belong to the Lord Jesus and he's your Savior, I encourage you tonight, trust him. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Before you leave here tonight, this man of God, nothing would thrill him, nothing that would make 2013 any better for him than to have the opportunity to open the Bible and show you how you can know Christ as your Savior tonight. I encourage, hey, I don't know you. I feel like most of you probably know the Lord as your Savior, but if you don't take the chance of walking out of here saying, oh, well, I'll take care of it Sunday. You might not still be in the world Sunday. Amen? If you don't know him tonight, please trust him as your Savior. But I said we were going to talk about some thoughts tonight. Now, after Jesus looked up and saw him, even spoke to him, what do you think were some of the thoughts he might have had? I want you to just think just very simply with me for a minute. I believe Zacchaeus probably thought this. Why, Jesus sees me. He sees me. Can I tell you this tonight? He sees you wherever you are. Remember in the book of Genesis, remember when Adam and Eve, I apologize for pulling these on and off, but they're not working right with me tonight or something. You think it's my eyes or my glasses? Probably both, isn't it? They're both getting old, amen? Remember in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve had sinned? And remember there's a part in there where God came to meet with Adam like he was accustomed to doing? And remember how the Bible says he come along saying, Adam, where art thou? Now, do you think he asked that question because he didn't know where Adam was? No, he knew exactly where Adam was, didn't he? The only reason, I'm sure Brother Van's told you this before and others have too, but the only reason he asked that question was he wanted Adam to see where Adam was. He wanted that brought to Adam's attention. God knew where he was, but Adam needed to know where he was. Brother Van, before I ever got saved, God knew where I was, but he realized that I needed to see where I was. I was headed to hell. Amen? And I want you to know tonight, that's kind of a staggering thought if you really think about it. God knows where you are always. He knows every thought you have. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? He knows every thought. You don't have to speak it. He knows it. You know, there's a crowd running around today. We call it the speak it and get it bunch or something. Say it and claim it or something. They think anything nice, anything you speak is going to happen. Thank God that's not true. Amen. There have been times I said, "Woo! I wish that dog would go out there and kill himself and try to scare me to death." I didn't really want the dog to die. I just wanted him to leave me alone. You know? I'm glad, Brother Van, everything I speak don't come to pass. But here's the point I'm trying to make. God's going to have His will and His way, and He's going to accomplish what He sees fit to accomplish, whether you speak it or not, whether you believe it or not. Remember years ago, people come up with, I used to hear preachers say it, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I got news for you. God said it, that settles it. Don't matter whether you believe it or not. He is God. He is God. And we better not forget that. Amen? We better not forget that. Christ Jesus sees you just like He saw Zacchaeus. Hey, that ought to encourage you to live for Him. That's one thing that keeps me halfway straight. Now, I said halfway straight. I didn't say I was straight. I wish I was straighter than I am. Amen? I tell you what, I'd be in a mess if it wasn't for God. My wife, she does her best to keep me straight. What she can't handle, God knocks me around a little bit sometimes. And I tell you, I thank God that He sees where I am. There's a lot of times, Brother Van, I'd go way across the line if He didn't say, "Okay, boy, that's far enough." When I was a teenager growing up, And I did things I should not have done. But you know what? There was always a line that I knew that I did not cross. I didn't understand what it was then, but now I've got sense enough to know it was the Holy Ghost of God saying, "Whoa, you don't cross that line." And I thank God for that, don't you? I thank God that wherever I am, He sees me. And we're thinking that we're talking about it just wholly in a negative way tonight. And listen, to the lost sinner or to the backslid Christian, it is a scary thought that God sees me no matter where I am. But think about this side of it. To the child of God that does everything they can to stay in God's will and live for God and honor God, that is a blessed thought. Sometimes we feel like that others don't even recognize when we do try to live for Jesus, but He does recognize it. It is not hidden from Him. Brother Ben, when someone ought to say to us, at least we think sometimes someone ought to say, "Well, I appreciate that," but maybe they don't do it. And we go away wondering if they really appreciate it. But God does appreciate it. And He will. Remember what the Bible says? What we do in secret, God will reward openly. He blesses us for it. Hey, I'm glad. Just like He walked by, Zacchaeus thought he won't even know him up here. But he did. Do you ever feel like
nobody don't know. I try to live for God and nobody don't even notice it. Do you ever feel like, man, nobody, it don't matter what I do, nobody cares anyway. But the Bible tells us that we're to cast our care upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. He does care. The Bible says that even a little sparrow cannot fall out of the nest without Him knowing it. And it goes on to tell us that we're worth much more than those little sparrows. He sees you. That ought to encourage you. You ought to be able to go through 2013 just knowing God sees me. He knows where I am. He knows what kind of condition or position or whatever I'm in. You know what? Sometimes, even as a pastor, sometimes I've overlooked things. There's been things I should have checked on people about. I just completely forget it or something. But you know what? God never forgets. There's been times, Brother Van, I've had to go to people and just say, look, I'm sorry. I should have done so. I did. I'm sorry. God never has to apologize to me. He's always on time. Isn't he? Jessica has got a song she sings sometime. I'm sure you've heard it about, you know, when he came to the grave of Lazarus, and the song says even when he's, what is it, 3 days, 4 days late, he's still right on time. Amen. Sometimes I think he's running late, and I want to say, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? But listen, if I've just learned to trust him, he's got it all well in hand. He sees me. And listen, I thought this message was going to be kind of short. I got to hurry. I don't know how long y'all used to stay on Wednesday night, but I don't want to overstay my welcome. You'll say, Brother Van, don't never bring him back. He's too long-winded. See, let me explain. See, when I take a breath, this is a lot to fill up. And then when I have to, and I have to keep preaching till all that comes out of there, what it is. You'll be coming here and hit me in the stomach, won't you? Get it out. But anyway, one thought he had was he sees me. You know something else? I believe he also thought, and think about this, he also thought he knows me. He knows me. And I've probably already hit on this some. But not only does the Lord Jesus see you tonight, but he knows you. He knows who you are. Hey, now let me now understand, there's two sides of this one too. He knows you if you're ornery and hard-headed. He knows that. But he knows all the sweetness about you too. He knows what's in your heart. Have you ever had anybody, I shouldn't ask that in the question, I'm sure you have. You know, I know you've asked people, well, where were you Sunday? And they'll start making all kind of excuses, and they'll always say, God knows my heart. And I don't ever hardly have the heart to tell them, but I used to want to say, yeah, he does. You better not forget that. He does know your heart. In fact, if you're lying and making excuses when you're talking to that person, he knows that. There's two sides to everything, aren't there? And so, yeah, he does know you. But there's a lot of things, that good things about you that probably the rest of us don't know, but he does. He does. I'm glad that not only does he see me, but he knows me. He knows exactly how to deal with me. He knows the kind of situations he's going to have to allow me to enter into in order to get me right where he needs me to be. You know what? All these things, all these hardships and situations, not all of them, but a lot of them I find myself in, I put myself there. And he knows our needs even in those things. They tell us that times are going to get harder and harder. God will see you in that. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows your needs. I don't know what your needs are tonight. I'm sure Brother Van and Miss Darlene knows many of your needs, but I'm sure there's even things that they don't know about. Can I say this to you tonight, and I don't want you to take it wrongly? Sometimes I have needs in my life that even my own wife don't know about, because I don't want to burden her with some things. But I can always go to Him, because He knows anyway, doesn't He? Can I say something else to you? I'm sorry I asked that question so much. But let me say this to you. You can't ask for anything that's too big for God to handle. I encouraged our church a while back, pray for big things. Where is it, Brother Van? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but someplace in the Bible it says, open thy mouth wide. And God said, I'll fill it. I'll fill it. Miss Darlene, even as wide as you could open your mouth sometimes. The Bible says God can fill it. Now, y'all forgive me, I have to pick at her. And she takes it well. Amen? She should. You know, I had to get one in on her. You know? Had to get one. But if you'll look, and I tell our church this too, pray expecting God to hear and answer your prayer. I tell them something else too. Pray, what's the word I use, Jessica? Specifically, I can't even say it tonight. I'll go at you folks are like me. Well, you're plain, ordinary, good people. So I can tell you. I had all my teeth pulled out two or three years ago. I believe what happened, they pulled my eye teeth, and I can't see how to say some things anymore. Because ever since that happened, and these store-bought teeth are in there, some things just don't come out. And sometimes the wrong thing tries to come out. Can I share that real funny real quick? I had just got my false teeth. I hope I don't offend you about talking about my false teeth, but I had just got my false teeth. I was down at my church, and I was preaching on a Wednesday night, and you know how sometimes when you say something kind of loud and you have to kind of put some pressure to it? Well, I did that, and I was not used to those false teeth. And when I put some pressure behind that word, I caught my teeth right there. Needless to say, I said, let's pray. It was over. There was no need to go any further. And I'm hoping I don't do that tonight. But I ask them to pray believing. Pray big things and pray specific. Did I say it right? Pray specifically. You don't have to beat around the bush with your praying. God knows your needs before you ask. And don't be ashamed. Sometimes we say, you ever heard someone pray like, Lord, I really need $1,000, but if you'll just give $500. If you need $1,000, ask for $1,000. Do you think $1,000 is going to shake God up? It's a lot of money to us, isn't it? It's not nothing to Him. Remember, He sees you. He knows you. And let me give you another one real quick. He loves you. Can you imagine old Zacchaeus sitting up there in that tree, and he says, why? He sees me. And then he said, not only that, He knows me. He called me by name. And then can you imagine how he felt when the reality hit him? Why? He loves me. He loves me. Brother Van, does it just sometimes still blow your mind to imagine that God loves me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know what that says? That says that for God so loved Danny, God so loved Ann, God so loved Joyce and Jessica and all of you. I can't remember all y'all's first names, but He loves the world. Sometimes I don't even know how God could like me, much less love me.
Sometimes I have found myself praying, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. I don't even understand why you are. I found myself having to say to him, God, if I were you and you were me, I'd probably disown you. But I'm so thankful that you won't disown me. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. Amen. You know the promise he gave me? He said, not only do I love you, not only will I die for you, not only did I resurrect for you, and not only have I gone to prepare you a place, but he said, I'm coming to get you one day. He loves me. He loves you. My mother-in-law, she's in heaven now. She used to have this saying. You know how every mama thinks her baby's the prettiest and the sweetest and the smartest and everything else? That's just natural, mamas. But my mom, my mother-in-law used to say, well, you know, every old crow thinks hers is the blackest. That's what she meant. That's what she meant. Can I say something to you? He is my father. I am his child. Remember that song, Jessica? He treats me as if I was his only child. And he does. I'm happy to report to you tonight, no matter what state you might be in, no matter what your condition, no matter what your concern, he sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. Isn't that good? That's just good. I want to give you one more and I'm going to quit, okay? I just saw the clock, Brother Van. I've been wondering what time it is. I just saw it. We're smart in Florida, amen. I just saw the clock. Just saw the clock. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. But here's a good one. He wants you. He wants you. And what's he want you for? He wants you to glorify him. He wants to be your Savior, doesn't he? And once he's your Savior, he wants you to glorify him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to love him. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our soul. Amen? Or to say our being. Our souls. That's what he wants you. He wants you. And old Zacchaeus thought, well, he sees me. He thought he knows me. And then he realized he loves me. And guess what? The Lord said, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. He said, can't you imagine he's skimming down that tree? He wants me. He wants me. And here's the lesson we can learn from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, if he wants me, he can have me. Amen. He can have me. That's what I learned years ago as a 13-year-old boy. One day the preacher preached and I realized he wants me. And there on the side of that road, that's what I said to him. You can have me. I want you if you want me. And he took me. And guess what? He has never thrown me back. There's been times when he probably... if I'd have been God, I'd have threw me back. But the Bible says in the book of John that he has us in the palm of his hand. And he said that when we're in his hand, no man can pluck us out. That no man includes anybody around that's picking at us. It includes the devil. And it includes the man. I myself can't pluck him out. I'm part of the no man. I can't even lose it. I can't send it away. I can't. Because, can I just say this?
what God does. Who saved you? You or God? Somebody tell me. Well, what God does, you can't undo. Amen? I'm trying to find a stopping place here and having trouble finding it. But Brother Van, He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He wants me. And all I know to do is just say, Lord, You can have me. There might be someone tonight. You know, Lord, is Your Savior. But you've been walking a little contrary of Him. A little contrary of His will. You know what He wants tonight? He don't want your house or your automobile or your clothes or your... He wants you. Now, is there anyone... My question tonight is this. Is there anyone that has realized He does want me? And you'll just come tonight and say, Lord, You can have me. Lock, stock, and barrel. I want to be Yours. That's all God wants tonight. Brother Van might have shared the story with you before. I know Miss Darlene heard it one time, because I probably heard it the same time she did. We had the same pastor for a lot of years. I remember him telling a story one time about an old Indian that was sitting in a service. And he fell under conviction. He didn't know, and I'm not saying anything bad about Indians, but this Indian was not used to worshiping with white people, with the white man. And he felt the conviction, but he didn't really know what to do. Nobody had ever preached to him much. But he saw people coming to altar, so he came down and he wanted to give God something. So all he did, he brought his bow and arrows. And he said, God, Indian, give you bow and arrow. And old Indian got up and went back to seat still on her conviction. So in a minute, he got out, come again. And he had one of his prized possessions, his blanket. And he laid it on the altar and he said, Lord, Indian, give you a blanket. And he got up and went back to the altar, to the seat, and he was still heavily under conviction. So he came back and he had one prized possession. He came back and he said, Lord, Indian, give you a pony. And he got up and went back to the seat. And he was still under conviction. He knew he still didn't have peace. So he came dragging back down to the altar. And he fell face first on the altar. And he said, Lord, I have nothing else. So Indian, give you self. And the peace of God flooded over him. You see, what he wanted all the time was not what he had, not what he could do for him. He just wanted Him. And that's what God wants for you tonight. You know what? You say, well, I'm not worth much. I can't do much. But if you'll give God all of you, it'll shock you. It will amaze you what He can do with you. It really will. Zacchaeus said, God, see, He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He wants me. And I'm glad to report to you tonight, He wants you. But will you, like Zacchaeus, just say, Lord, You can have me. You can have me if You will. I promise you this. This will be the greatest year you ever had. Be the greatest year you ever had. Give yourself to Jesus tonight. If you're not saved, oh, you need to get saved. You need to know that you're going to heaven when you die. And if you are saved tonight, give God the most precious thing you have, giving you. Amen? Giving you. Let's pray together tonight. Brother Van, won't you come and you take the invitation, please, sir. Father, we thank You for allowing us the time to preach tonight. Thank You, dear Lord, for the good attention of these dear people. And Father, You just use it now as You see fit. Bless this dear pastor and give him wisdom as to what should take place now. Have Your will and way in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Lane.
Singing and for the good service tonight. All right, is little man, is he asleep? Half and half? Caleb, do you feel like taking the offering tonight in the bucket? All by yourself? Do you want to do that? All right, everybody be seated. We're going to receive a love offering tonight for Brother Danny and his family. And Caleb is going to do it all by himself. That's a bucket right there, okay? All right, so Miss Teresa is going to play, and you hold your offering up. And let's give a good offering to the preacher tonight.